What a joy to be back in the Lord's house this evening. If you have a copy of the Word of God, we're going to start out in the book of Matthew tonight. And we'll be in the eighth chapter just for a little bit. It's good to see you here tonight. Rex, we're praying for you and your dear family, and also the family of Edward and Marlene, as they each of you deal with the passing of your sister from early this morning. If you don't know, they lost a sister, Helen Wiles, this morning. So pray for that family as they now enter the part of the bereavement part of her sickness, and just pray God will comfort them. It's good to be here tonight. We've got several other people tonight that we would offer up prayer for, that being Brother Ronnie Billings, and just pray for Sister Kathy, and also pray for Sister Tamara Bryant. She's facing upcoming surgery. Don't forget those like Brother Max and Brother Archie that just had surgery, and Billy Mint just got out of the hospital recently. So each and every one of them. Am I really loud tonight? Really, really loud? Jess, am I good? Is it okay? You like it? Say amen. All right, we're going to preach here in just a minute. I hope you like it. Don't forget, we've got just a host of people we've been praying for. Don't forget our shut-ins, Cliff and Ray, Sister Sue, Janie, Miss Ruth, Stella, all those that we've been praying for that still what we consider our homebound folk. Miss May, good to have you back tonight, honey. It's always good to see you. And we're going to go ahead and stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to read the story of the where the devils were cast into swine is where we're going to be starting out. But don't be confused. It's not so much about the deliverance of the man, but I want to show you something, what happens whenever the Word of God starts pricking people's hearts. And I want to show you what happens whenever the Word of God starts getting in your own little pea patch and starts messing around where you live. The Word of God in itself is sharp. The Bible said it's sharper and it's more powerful than any two-edged sword. What does a two-edged sword do, Brother Grant? That thing cuts you coming and going. I don't care if you move it up or down, front, back, it's going to cut. Well, that's what the Word of God's done over the years. It pricked my heart. It pruned off some dead branches off of me. And I asked Brother Grant as he walked into the prayer room, and I said, did your father-in-law, and if you don't know who his father-in-law was, it's Pastor Felman Cheek of this pulpit for the last 39 years and 3 months prior to my getting here. And I asked Brother Grant, did Brother Felman ever preach anything or do anything that caused the Word of God maybe to get into somebody's pea patch and cause him any trouble? He said, all the time. He said there was one place up near Cutthroat Ridge over in Trap Hill community that deputies had to escort him into the revival. And then when he got done, they were waiting on him to escort him back out of the community. Now, either they hated the man, Felman Cheek, or they did not like the word in which he was bringing. I suggest to it that the Word of God's powerful and it's quick. You say, what does that word quick mean? In the Bible, it means alive. It's a quickening spirit. It'll make us alive. And it's sharp. It will do that work. Now, here we are in this, and when you read this story, it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ that's doing the work. And somebody stole my glasses. Oh, well. No, here they are. We're going to start reading in verse number 28, and then we'll read just a little bit, focusing primarily on the last verse of that, of the 34th verse. The Bible says, and when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergeses, or you'll see another place that'll say the Gadarenes, there met him two possessed with devils. And don't let that two possessed with devils confuse you, because the synoptic gospel tell that there was one, but don't let that confuse you. That's not a contradiction. It's that one of them, apparently, Brother John, didn't come out there to get healed. I don't know. There was two of them vexed, and there was two of them filled, but one of them wanted some help. Is that not like it is in most churches today? Is that not what will happen at the latter day? One will be taken, one will be left. There'll be two grinding, one will be left, one will be taken. There'll be two in the bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Ain't that about what's going on today? But it says there were two there, but if you'll read the other scriptures, and we'll read one of the passages here in just a minute, the Bible said that there come out two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. I mean, these guys have come out, they're going to stand their ground. And here it says, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine. And there again, if you were to go over and read in the book of Mark, which I'm not going to go back and forth, but in verse number 13 of the book of Mark, the Bible said that when Jesus gave them leave, that there were about 2,000 swine. So you need to know what we're talking about. There's about 2,000 pigs down there on the hillside. It said there was a herd of many swine, and they were feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us
us to go away into the herd of swine. So here the devils are now talking to the Lord. And it said, and he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine, all 2,000 of them things, ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything that was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Brother Greg, ask God to bless us, my friend. Amen. As you're being seated this evening, let me just say that it wasn't the ones that, it wasn't the one that was delivered that ran into town. The Bible said in that 33rd verse, and they that kept them fled. So who was that? They that kept them. Those are the swine herders. The same as a shepherd would keep sheep, these are the swine herders. I don't even know what you would call them, except it was some type of a herder that kept the pigs. And I don't know where the Gergeses or the Gadarenes were in relation. Maybe Brother Woody or somebody more versed in the scriptures could tell us. But it was clearly not right in the middle of Jewry, because the Jews predominantly did not eat. Now, if you think that there were no Jews eating a pork chop sandwich or a tenderloin biscuit or a sausage biscuit or a stack of pancakes with a couple sides of bacon, then you're as crazy as I am to think that no Baptist would ever touch an alcoholic drink. There are alcoholic drinks within probably some of the very refrigerators of the membership of this church. So to think that a Jew would not touch a tenderloin biscuit, you're probably deceiving yourself, Brother Chris, because I believe that if he had a head biscuit and probably had some kind of gravy there, he would probably also sop that stuff up with a slab of pork chop or something if he had it in his access. Now, some were devout and some were very holy and religious. Maybe the sect of the Sadducees or the Pharisees, they were so fair, you see, Brother King, they wouldn't have been caught doing it, but they probably would have done it. You can rest assured that they would have done that. But the Bible said that those that kept them, they are the ones that fled and went into the city. And whenever they went into the city, what did they do, Brother John? They started telling people what had happened, that we're out there and we've got our livelihood before us. What is their livelihood? Brother Chris, it's them pigs. I don't know how much 2,000 pigs would have cost somebody, or how much those pigs would have been worth had they gone down to the marketplace when they were buying and selling and trading any kind of animals, whether they were bartering for corn or cane or sugar or beets or any other kind of melons or anything else that they would have had. I don't know how much a pig would have been worth, Brother John, but 2,000 of them things, it had to be pretty pricey. So here comes the Lord Jesus Christ, and whenever he comes through there, he interacts with these demons that are now filled up with the, filled these two that ran among the tombs. And if you'll read the other scripture, one of them was named, he said, they call me Legion because we are many. And Brother John, let me tell you, whenever the Lord meets a demon, the demons tremble. And whenever the demons confront God, they have to back up. They have no power over Jesus Christ. And that's because they have no power over you, except that you would relinquish that unto him. Chris, don't give the devil an inch or he'll become your ruler. Don't back up to him. Kick that booger out of your life. Submit yourselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ and make him flee from you. So here we are, these two now, they've come out and they've confronted the Lord Jesus Christ, and you come out here to torment us. But in the same region, there's that herd of swine over there, and there's the swine herders that are keeping those sheep. And I want you to see that everybody's not going to like this message. I want you to see that everybody's not going to like what Preacher Feldman preached. I want you to see that not everybody's going to like what Brother Chris preaches. Not everybody's going to like what Preacher Chris, Brother Kenny preaches, or Brother John preaches, or any other preacher preaches. Why? Because the Word of God, it's going to get real close to where you live. And in this particular case, Brother Steve, they didn't like it because it got into their billfold. All of their swine have violently run down a cliff and cast themselves into the midst of the sea, and they are dead. One of the scriptures said they choked themselves. Another said they were drowned in the midst of the sea. One of them said they were drowned in the lake or choked in the lake. But nevertheless, those swine swineherd or sheep, every one of them have perished. So what are you saying, preacher? What I'm saying is this. Whenever we start preaching and we start preaching hard, if it starts hitting people where it hurts, namely, especially in the pocketbook, they don't like that, Miss Judy. When we started having our anti-alcohol rally, and we had it on the same Sunday or the same Saturday that they did the Shine to Wine Festival, Brother Ken, the town area did not like that. If you'll remember, we had taken out an ad in the newspaper saying that we didn't stand for the alcoholic beverage sales in the area, and we're against that. We come out, and there were many churches that sponsored a full page in the Journal Patriot as coming out against alcoholism and coming out. Listen, they were celebrating the Wilkes County heritage as being an alcohol center of the world. Why? Because this is the capital, and this is the founding place of bootleg liquor. Bootleg liquor was that non-tax-paid liquor that the revenues were after. It's where Thunder Road was filmed. It's where NASCAR got its roots. It's where Junior Johnson and all of those that would run Shine founded the roots, and it goes right back to Wilkes County. And Wilkes County has a heritage in that. But should we be celebrating something that is namely a sin? We shouldn't be. What right now, Brother Kippy? We're the greatest number one county in the entire United States for methadone deaths in America. Are we going to celebrate meth? Are we going to have a period 100 years from now where we call it the Toothless Convention and everybody whose teeth has fell out and their face is all pocked up because of meth and the effects of alcohol and the effects of drugs are stenched in their body? Well, are you going to just have their grandchildren get together and say, well, praise the Lord, we come from the number one, not only bootleg liquor capital, but bless God, we grew more marijuana back in the 70s and 80s than anybody else, and then we rolled out into the 2000s, and man, we got hooked on methadone. We got hooked on meth, and we got hooked on this. Brothers, stop celebrating sin. And whenever we start preaching out against that stuff, if it gets into the profit of those that are profiting from it, they do not like it. That's why there were editorials being made saying, could that money that they spent on that great big ad or host this great big event, could that money not have been spent to feed the poor? Jesus Christ said, the poor you will always have with you. He said to spread the word of God and to feed the sheep with the gospel of grace. Tell them about me. He said, you're always going to have the poor with you. And we will. There's always going to be poor people. But bless God, they can be rich in Christ Jesus. And that's why people don't like it when we preach out against sin, because we get into their profits. They're popping up everywhere now. Don't believe it? Spears Design Company has a booth in the Key City Mall down there. In that great big old building, they got an antique mall. But go right outside the door. What's outside the door, Chad? There's a distillery out there. Go up on the second floor and look over. You'll see the great big vats in there. And you know what I'm talking about. Wilkes County has a steep and a deep history again in alcohol. But bless God, I'm going to cry out against alcohol, because many of our broken homes are just blatantly attributable to the fact that daddy come home drunk and beat up mama, wore the kids out, abused them, and bless God, marriages fail because of this junk, and homes are destroyed because of this junk, and I'm going to cry out against it. But brother, when you say, how are you getting all that out about a bunch of pigs running down a hill? Because bless God, they didn't want Jesus Christ in the community anymore. Why? Read it for yourself. In that last verse, the 34th verse, it said, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. What were they wanting? Were they wanting healing? Were they wanting a touch? Were they wanting deliverance? Were they wanting anything? No, I'll show you what they were wanting. It said the whole city come out to meet him, and whenever they came out and they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. They said, get out of here. What are you doing? You just cost this man who had 2,000, I'm talking about shoats. He had boar hogs that were going to breed sow hogs, and he going to take them little piglets down to the market, and he wanted to sell them, and that was how he made his livelihood. And now you have just destroyed an entire herd of swine by putting them demons in them and running them down the hill. Get out of here. Who do you think you are? If they started shutting down liquor stores around town, closing down ABC stores, and we stood against that one when they put that one over there by Pleasant Grove. We put our name in the paper along with Pleasant Grove and Bethel and all the other churches that come together. Why? Because we stood against that. There comes a time, Brother Grant, you better stand for something. Amen. Bless God, don't be afraid. And as Brother John said, don't be ashamed to put your name on something that's worthwhile once in a while. They just come out and stood against the Lord and said, get him out of our coast. Get him out of this region. What does he think he's doing? And it's not just because of that. Go over to the book of Acts, chapter number 19. I want to show you the how that when prophets start getting turned upside down and people start losing money, how they all of a sudden get toward the church. They're okay as long as we're doing the things that the church does, brother, helping the widows and the orphans, and they're getting their little cut out of it, and we're buying our stuff from them. But bless God, whenever you start getting into their little kitty, and you start upsetting their little trade and their skill set, Brother Kenny, they're going to get mad at you. They ain't going to like us so much anymore. I wish we could shut down every beer joint and every store. Listen to me, and it's not been that long ago, Brother Jody. You and I are pretty close to the same age. I know you look a lot older than me, but we're about the same age. But do you remember, brother, when on Sundays they did not sell alcohol in the state of North Carolina on a Sunday? It wasn't that long ago, my friends. It wasn't that long ago. And then they said, okay, we'll sell it on Sunday, but we won't sell it until after 1 o'clock. What was that? That was to give those of us that went to church a chance to worship before we went out and got the stuff. Now, that's a shame that people would leave church and pick them up something on the way home. But they wouldn't sell it on Sundays. Then they said, we'll sell it on Sunday, but we won't sell it till after 1 o'clock. You remember that? And they'd only serve it up, or sell it up to about 6 o'clock, and then they cut it off again. Why? Because the people want to go back to church on Sunday night. That's a true story, Preston. That's in my lifetime. That's in your daddy's lifetime. There was a time when stores didn't even open on Sunday. And that's not too long ago, Brother Grant. It's in my lifetime. And now it's liquor by the drink. It's everything come and go and do as you will and do as you may. But bless God, you let a Holy Ghost movement of the Billy Sunday power of God preaching against alcohol and the effects thereof sweep over and start closing a few of these things down. They're going to come against us. You said that'll never happen again. It could. We keep crying out against it. But in the book of Acts, if you were to pick up the reading in verse number 23, the Bible said there was at the same time arose no small stir about that way. For there was a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana and brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. When it says no small gain, what is that? It means there's a whole lot. No small gain means that he brought in a lot of gain. He was very lucrative at what he did. But what happened was this. If you were to go back and look, you've got Timotheus and Erastus down here, sin and Paul, and they're all preaching. They're telling the story about Jesus Christ and how that the Lord could save them if they would only listen. But here's what he said in verse number 25. He called together all the workmen of like occupation. These are the ones that are the one that's making these idols and all these things. And it says, sirs, you know by this craft that we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed them with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered into the people, the disciples suffered him not. Why? Because they would have killed him, Brother John, if they could have got their hands on him. This one Paul, who is this man? He's saying that there is no God, this man. made by hand. Bless God, Brother Chris, there was one God, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the God-man. And because Paul was preaching that, he was upsetting their prophet. He was upsetting them, Brother John. And when you get into people's pocketbooks, man, you got right into their heart. If you don't think about that, you look at Stephen. Whenever he was preaching, what happened, Brother John? He got into their heart. The Bible said their hearts were pricked at the preaching of Stephen, and they gnashed on him with their teeth, and they ultimately killed him. Why? Because he got real close to what they were and who they were. I'm telling you, you start getting into people's pocketbooks, you'll start upsetting some people. It's not just the pocketbook. These were prideful men. I want you to look at Nicodemus. Thank God that Nicodemus got saved. You said, where do you see that? You'll have to read later. It was Nicodemus that went back with Joseph of Arimathea to beg the body of Christ. He was a disciple of the Lord, but secretly. He didn't come out boldly, but behind the scenes, Nicodemus was serving. But because of his great pride, he come to the Lord Jesus by night and said, Master. And he comes to the Lord at night, Brother Kenny. And why'd he do that for? Because he had a reputation. And that pride was in his heart, Brother Chris. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, I believe it to be chapter number 16, maybe verse number 19. Anyway, the Bible, it is 16 and 18 in the book of Proverbs, that pride, it goeth before destruction. But Nicodemus didn't let that pride destroy him. He came to the Lord, and rather than destroying him, bless God, it converted him because it convicted him. And when it convicted him, it changed him. And bless God, he got saved by God's grace. But pride in itself, Miss Mel, will cause a man to miss out on that good thing of God. Who am I to bow down before this holy God? Who does he think he is? He's a jealous God's who he is. Can't have nothing before him. That's what he said. Had no other God before me. But pride will get in a man's way real quick. It won't just be the prophet. It'll be the pride in his heart. He said, I'm not going to bow down. You ever seen anybody so proud, Ryan, that they're above everybody, everything. Nobody could tell them anything. Listen, we've all got a certain amount of pride. I'm not talking about sinful pride. We've all got some pride. You let me be doing something, and Cindy come in and tell me, Mark, I need the way that's done. You know what I want to do? Who died and made you the? Same thing. If she's in there doing something, and I come through, and she's labored, and she's worked on it all day, and I come through and start gomming with it. Wilkes County word is gomming. Y'all know what I'm doing if I'm gomming with it, Brother Charles. She's worked hard on it, and it looks it looks great, but I've got to go do something to it just to put my touch on it. You know what that does? That aggravates her. You know it does. You know how when you're trying to do a job at work, and Ryan, you're doing it to the best of your ability, your boss comes through and it's just not quite right. You know what I'm talking about? And he's going to tell you how it's done. That's the way people look at the Word of God, Brother John. They go through this life, they think, well, I'll just do the best I can. I'll get along best I can. Everything will be all right. And then the Lord shows up and says, that ain't quite right, John. That's not the way that it's supposed to be, Brother Steve. And you said, well, I've been doing this way my whole life. If your way is contrary to the Word of God, you better line up with the Word of God. Because the Word of God, and you have some pride, we've all got it. We say, I ain't changing because of this or that, and I ain't changing because of that book. When you do that, Brother John, guess what? You're headed for destruction. You're headed for an adjustment somewhere along the line. It's not just the prophet or the pocketbook or the pride. But I want you to see this just a minute. Turn over to Luke chapter number 23 just a minute. Are we all right tonight? Amen. All right. Luke 23, just for a few minutes. We'll hit the highlights on this one just for a minute. I don't even have to go back and forth, back and forth. I just want you to see this. A man's power and a man's position, his prominence. Just because you're a pope or a president or a priest or a mayor or a governor or a president, a pastor, it doesn't give you any prominence over the Word of God. The Word of God's still right. not just the Word of God, Brother John, but God himself was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is now standing before this man by the name of Pilate. If you're in that, I'll just show you a couple things real quick. In chapter number 23, we'll start off in verse number 4. The Bible said, and verse number 3, and Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou sayest it. And then Pilate said to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. So what does Pilate do? Rather than setting the Savior free, what's he do, Miss Shirley? He sends him up to see Herod. And let me tell you, you're not going to pass the buck and get out of this world. You'll stand before God and you'll stand before God alone. You're going to stand there for John. You're not going to pass the buck off and say, well, my daddy did this or my daddy did that. My pastor said it was okay to do this. Mascot, if you've got to go to your pastor and ask him if it's right or wrong to do something, Brother Chris, the Holy Spirit's already give you the answer, so don't come asking me about it. But bless God, let me tell you, these men, they had prominence, they had power, they had position, and Pilate had the chance to set him free, and he said, I can't find any fault in him. I'm going to send him over to see Herod. Well, what happens in the next couple of verses? Get it for yourself. The Bible said that Herod, he kind of laughs about it. I'm going to show you what the devil will do, and I'm going to show you what happened here in this passage of Scripture. He sent him over to see Herod. In verse number 8 down through number 12, Herod saw Jesus, and the Bible said he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Herod didn't care about the Lord Jesus Christ any more than Pilate did, and here's what happens as a result of that. Devils get together. Devils congregate. Demons congregate to get against you, to destroy you, Brother Chris. Satan can't stand you, and he'll put every imp demon of hell upon you to help to try to destroy you and discredit your testimony. Look what it says in this verse of Scripture here in verse number 12. Verse number 11 said, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Okay, Pilate sent him to Herod. Herod sent him back to Pilate. But look at that next verse. Bible said, in the same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. For before, they were at enmity between themselves. They couldn't stand each other before that. Pilate didn't want the blood of Christ on him. Say, I'm going to send him up to Herod. Herod didn't want the blood of this just man on him, so he sends him back down to Pilate. Let me tell you, if the Word of God pricks you and starts to cause you problem, bless God, you need to diminish some of your power. You need to get back into the Word of God and see what it said whenever it said that he, being Jesus Christ, must increase, but I, being a little old Mark, must decrease. John the Baptist said he got to get a little bit lower, that Christ might get a little bit bigger. And bless God, that's the way this thing's got to be, but that wasn't the way Pilate and Herod wanted it. Herod sent him to Pilate sent him to Herod. Herod sent him back down to Pilate. Pilate said, I wash my hands of this just man. I ain't nothing to do with him. Pilate's wife even recognized, you're messing up. There's some thing going on here. I had a dream. Let me tell you, my friends, the Word of God has that effect on people. Just as those swine run down the hill, and those that kept the swine run into town and said, wait a minute, this man's upset everything. Let's get him out of here. And just as that would happen, it won't just be those things. Brother Chris mentioned on the pew there a while ago, I said, what will sin, what will the Word of God, he said, it'll get real close to you in a lot of ways. And I said, if you were using words that began with P, what would it start? He said, well, it could get right close to your possessions. Look in Acts chapter number 5. Ananias and Sapphira had a piece of land. They sold that piece of land. What happened to them? They kept back a portion, did they not, Brother John? You start keeping back a portion. Start robbing God and see what happens to you. Bible said that the men that carried out Ananias had come to get Sapphira. Why? Said the footmen are at the door. What are they doing? They're going back there to get your carcass. Done got your husband. You're next. Why? Because they tempted the Holy Spirit of God, because they had a portion of, let's just read it. The Bible said in verse number 3, Peter answered and said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back a portion, a part of the price of the land? While it was yours, it was yours. You owned it. And he said in verse number 5 down through number 8, and then Peter heard her say, Peter said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that had buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. There's a whole lot to preach in this. I'm getting ready to get real close to somebody. Don't you get mad at the preacher whenever I get over here either. And you said, they were all peas, preacher. Where are you going now? I'm going to get in your little playground. You may not have power. You may not have an exuberant amount of pride. You may not have an excessive amount of all these other things that I preached about. But every one of us has got this little area that nobody goes. That's our playground. That's our pleasure center. That's where nobody knows. That's that hidden part of the heart that nobody knows about. Won't nobody find out about this or that? I can show you in the Word of God several people that thought they had it all worked out and all hidden very well. Namely, David comes to mind right off the bat. He thought that that little tryst that he had down there with Bathsheba would be all well and good, and he would cover that thing up with a couple lies and maybe a little drunkenness here and a little lie there, and next thing you know, he would get out of that. Didn't work too well. God saw it all, Brother Kim. Sent a prophet by the name of Nathan down to his house to kind of sort it all out for him by telling him a little parable. David said, oh, that man's worthy of death. Nathan, with love in his heart, but God all over him, said, David, thou art the man. He said, that's you, David. There's so many people today and tonight. I'll show you. A man that had power and all the things I just preached about was the name of Herod. Satan has always tried to shut the man of God up, whether it beating him up or trying to cut him or shoot him or whatever they tried to do to your father-in-law. I had a man threaten to come burn our house down or burn the church down one time, and he's going to come shoot me one time. And you said, all that really happened? Yeah, it's happened. I sent Macy up one night. I said, the phone rang, and I got the phone, and a man said, is this the pastor Calvary? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. I ain't going to tell you the whole story. And he said, I'm coming over there. And I said, all right, well, come on. You know where I live. You got my number. My address is beside it in the phone book. I'm coming over there. I said, all right. And Macy, go get my 357. It's upstairs. Just go ahead and bring it down here. Then he said, all right, who was that? So here we go, preacher. Why would somebody want to come up threaten, come over here and beat me up or shoot me? Or why would somebody threaten to come over here and burn our church down? Ginger, why would they do that? Honey, has it not happened before? You better believe it's happened. It's happened in the last several years. I'm going to come here and torch that place. I've had my deacons on point. Y'all didn't know it. I had Brother Greg, and I've had this one and that one. I've had 15 people around here packing heat and guarding arms, got them strategically placed around the building, telling Jody, Jody, make sure that your son stays alert upstairs and watches the cameras, because this could be the day that trouble comes to Calvary. You said, has that really happened? We're going to quit coming over here. You ought to come here because you're probably the most well-protected group of people than anywhere in the county. You know what happened, Miss Lynn? You know what happens, church? You know what happens? The preacher starts preaching and starts upsetting people. Why? Because it got into their little playground. Because people do not like it when the preacher starts preaching against fornication. Listen to me, my friends. Fornication's in the Bible. You say, what is fornication? That's sexual activities outside of the confines of marriage. You say, well, I thought that was within marriage. That's adultery. You commit adultery if you're in the bonds of marital bliss and all of a sudden somebody steps out, you're committing adultery. Yeah, fornication can be adultery and adultery can be fornication. That thing can work both ways. But when a man of God starts preaching against that, you know what that might land him? It might land him in a prison with some dancer by the name of Herodias saying, what are you asking the king? What will you give me? What will you give me? And the king saying, well, what do you want? What do you want? You say, what's this all about? It happened because John the Baptist said that it ain't right for you to have your brother's wife. And when you start preaching hard against sin, I don't care what kind of power, what kind of popularity, prominence, position, prophets you've got. When a man gets real close to where you're living, Brother John, if he's preaching against sexual perversion, and let me tell you, it's not cohabitation. It's shacked up. And living together still sin. I don't care who you are, where you are. It's against God. It's against His book. I'm going to preach against it. That's just the way that it is. But when a man preaches that, it makes that preacher get a curse on him, because I'm going to get that booger one way or another. But bless God, greater is He that's in me. I might have a bullseye on me the size of a bullseye, big as my chest and big as my back, but bless God, I'm not going to back down from it. People have problems with drugs. People get hooked on prescription pills. People get hooked on painkillers. Whether they're prescribed by a doctor or whether they're buying them on the street corner, it don't matter. People are getting hooked on this stuff. They're hooked on alcohol. They're hooked on pornography. They're hooked on all manners of sin, Brother John. And it's not right. And when you get into that, Herod said, what do you want? Herodias, and I tell you what I want. Who was that man that would walk in here and tell me that it shouldn't be this way? You know what it was, Brother John? They didn't like it whenever he got right in their business. And he said, I tell you what, you bring me the head of John the Baptist in a charger. And about this time, brothers, the evening is set. And the next thing you know, here comes the headhunters. Took John's head off. Try to silence the voice. Satan has always tried to silence the voice. We'll kill all the male children under the age of two. What'd they do? They hid Moses in a basket, the bulrush, set him down the river. Why? That his wife, that his own mother might find him and that she might be able to raise him. Tried to silence the voice. Let's kill all the babies. It's always been said, and it's a true story, that right before every great event, they started killing babies. Right before the deliverance, what happened, Brother John? They started killing the babies. Right after Jesus was born, what did they do? They started killing the babies. Did they not? That's whenever Joseph and Mary fled down into Egypt. And they took the male children went down into Egypt that the scriptures might be fulfilled and that prophecy might be fulfilled that out of Egypt have I called my son. Otherwise, nothing good ever come out of Egypt. But Brother Chris, what are we doing now? We're killing the babies. It always happened right before some great turn of events. I look at that right before the rapture, Brother John. Right before the, not just the advent of the Messiah, but how about the second coming? Kill the babies. 62 million of them? Kill the babies. But I'll tell you this, people get hooked on stuff. People get so drawn into that. And whenever the preacher starts playing in their playground, Brother Charles, and getting real close to where they live, they don't like that. The same as you get in a man's pocketbook. You get in his playground. You get where he's at, and next thing you know, I don't like him anymore. Well, guess what? Being a pastor, you really don't have the greatest number of friends anyway outside of his local assembly. I love y'all, and y'all love me. But do you think everybody in Wilkes County loves us? Do you think everybody in the greater surroundings of the Wilkesboro, Cricket, Miller's Creek area, they love us? You know what they think of us, Miss Margaret? They think that we set ourselves on a pedestal because we're King James only. Because we take a hard position against this or that. That's okay. Brother Grant, I'll stand on the Word of God. The Word of God is pretty hard against some sins, is it not? Brother Kippy, is it not pretty hard against some sins? You better believe it is. You say, well, I'm glad you left my sin alone. Well, let's get on into the gossip, backbiting, tail-bearing, hatred, emulation, lasciviousness, lust. We can get in there, gossip. You said, anyway, a gossip? I'd have to build a bigger altar if we all put our tongues up here the way we run them. I'm serious. We'd have to build a bigger altar, brother. Some of you have to back up a pew just because you ain't got enough room from there to there to lay it. But we're terrible. Backbiting, tail-bearing of such, what, turn away? Brother John, there's a lot in there that, yeah, I don't see the... But yet you've got something in your heart against your brother. Y'all remember a few years ago that I preached on the man that moved the peg from here to here? Brother Woody, you remember that? I was preaching through the commandments, and I preached, don't defraud not, don't cheat your brother. Kenny Anderson, God is my witness. I said, you might not have stole from him in cash, but you knew that corner peg belonged here. I preached this in a message one night. I said, the corner peg used to be here, and it had been here for 50 years. And all of a sudden now the corner peg's over here. Why? Because you moved it. I preached that. I said, that's the same as you stole that man's billfold. You stole one slither of an acre of land and you stole it. Nobody had come to me. Nobody said anything to me. But there's two people in this church that parted ways and went to different sides of the church. I had no clue. Until the man come to me and said, I don't know who told you. And I said, told me what? He said, I moved that peg. I said, oh, I didn't know you moved the peg. He said, somebody told you. He said, that land was mine from the get-go. And all this started telling me about how come he moved the peg to its rightful place. And he said, I guess you've seen that we've sat now on different sides of the church. And one of us is going to have to go. It's going to be us. We're just going to quietly leave. True story, Brother John. I'm not lying. I wouldn't lie to you for nothing. In this church, I didn't know that about that peg. I just using that as an illustration. I also used rolling back the odometer on a car. You knew it had 100,000 miles, but yet you had the ability to get under the dash and tinker with it and roll it back to where it only says 60,000. Now, you rolled it back 40,000 miles, but in essence, you just stole from the next buyer because you're going to get more money out of it because of the fact that he thought it had fewer miles. You stole. That's defrauding. Now, nobody come to me and confessed of odometer tampering, but I'm sure there was somebody in the building or they knew somebody. But whenever you're preaching, Brother Kenny, and God runs something out there, whether it's lust or backbiting, tailbearing, covetous, drunkenness, pornography, sin of any measure, shape, form, or fashion, or whether it's one of those that I just mentioned about gossip or hatred in your heart, unforgiveness, unwillingness to forgive somebody will hurt you. But anyway, wow, I preached a whole message off of that about pigs. I'm almost done. But I'm going back to that, about the pigs, because that's what this whole thing, God showed me this off of that 34th verse. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. I want to go get a couple more of that same passage of scripture. In the book of Mark, chapter number 5, it says it this way. And when they came to Jesus and they saw the hen that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting, clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid. And when they saw it, told them how that it befell to him and is possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. In other words, get out of here. I go over to Luke and I read the same passage of scripture. The Bible said that when they that fed them, speaking of the hogs, saw what was done, they fled and went and told it into their city and into their country. And then they went out to see what was done and came to see Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by what means that it was that he was possessed of the devils was healed. And then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear and went up again to a ship and returned not back. Let me tell you, there's more problems that come about a preacher for telling the truth because people don't like to hear the truth. I've had people in here that's had restraining orders that somebody swore up and down they were going to come here. Barring any piece of paper, a piece of paper ain't going to stop somebody. They'll walk right through that, walk right in here. And when they do, guess what? Miss Jen, they're going to walk right back out of here. We've had all kinds of things said to us. We've had all things. Brother Clayton, where's my Clayton? Where's Brother Clayton at? Did Clayton get mad and leave? Brother Clayton ain't here. He probably went back to take care of Brother Ronnie and Miss Kathy. But anyway, Brother Clayton's got love letters. Brother Larry talked about love letters. They never put their name on them. You know what usually comes about? The love letter comes right after the preacher got real firm about somebody's position of sin. Let me tell you, I've seen it happen in here. I've seen God work miracles through people. I just knew good and well we're going to have to be churched. It was right there at the position. You said have to be churched. What's that? It's Matthew chapter number 18. We go to them and them alone. Brother Greg, everything seems okay as long as it's between us and them. And if gospel steps are taken, which I'm sure they are, we'll never know about it. That's the biblical way to do it. I go to Greg. Greg comes to me. Whatever, we work it out. Y'all never know about it. It becomes a problem if it won't be fixed. And Brother Woody, the next thing you know, you got to get a couple witnesses. The next thing you know, you got to tell the church. And if it ever gets that far, and it's got right to that point of time or two around here, thought we're going to have to do something, but God always intervenes. Man, I like it when God shows up. Because I hate to do that. I would honestly hate to take Chris and toss you out. Not that I'm going to. But I'm just saying, Chris, I'd hate to throw you out of the church house. Wouldn't it be a whole lot better if we just loved on each other and you get your heart right and I got my heart right and we prayed through this thing, got it all fixed? Matthew chapter 18 is in the book, brother, and it's in there for a reason. As we stand all over the house tonight, listen, don't get mad at the preachers. Don't get mad at the preachers. I asked Preacher Kenny just a little while ago about a couple different preachers that I knew of, and I asked him about one by name. And Brother Kenny said, it's his way or the highway. He's pretty much a gun shooter. He shoots straight. It's his way or no way. I'm okay with that as long as his way is going by the way of the cross. I'm not much by those gunslingers that shoot my way or the highway, but they can't back it up with any book. That becomes a problem for all of us. But I would ask you tonight, Kenny, would it make you mad if you labored all day and you'd had whatever it was you was working on? It's just about perfect. It's as perfect as Kenny Anderson could get it. And then Charlie come through there and start doing something to it. Would that upset you? I think that it would, and it would do her the same way if you started gomming around with it. But you see, Brother John, our lives are not so perfect that God can't gom around in them. God has that ability to kind of mess around in here a little bit. See, we think we got it all fixed. Ryan, everything's perfect now, and then here comes God messing around in there. Uh-oh, it wasn't as perfect as we thought. But you know how he did it? He did it through the preached word of God. How did you get saved? You got saved by grace through faith. Where'd the faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. Where about the hearing? Hearing come by the word of God. What pleased God, Brother John? It pleased God to save them, which were lost by the what? Foolishness of preaching. Here comes that old hard-headed, flint-faced preacher again, calling out our sin. I'll just quit coming there. Within the last few months, I've had two different people said that they feel conviction when they come here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to feel welcomed, but I don't want you to feel comfortable in your sin. If you're in it, I want you to feel miserable. I want you to be welcome while you're here, but I want you to be under conviction. If you're walking wayward, I want chastisement to be your lot. Because that chastisement assures me that the book did its work, and it will. Brother Chris, you ever felt like maybe the preacher singled you out? He called you right out. Man, it's happened to me many times. Miss Cindy knows whenever a preacher's head goes down. Sometimes, Brother John, I just have to kind of slink my head a little bit. Wow, he got real close to home. As Miss Macy's playing tonight, I would ask you tonight, does this book make you better? Or does this book make you bitter? What does that book do to you?